The destruction of the city was so complete that witnesses found it hard to believe that it was done by humans. Large buildings and massive walls were toppled and scattered like toy blocks. Mangled bodies were lying everywhere. And in the midst of the ruins, a man roamed about with a blank expression on his face. And then he broke into uncontrollable weeping. Everything he had ever known was gone. Of those who once made that city alive, only a handful managed to escape. The man wrote a letter to the survivors. At one point, his words turned personal and he described his own grief. A copy of that letter was preserved by some of those who received it. And the words tell the story of someone trying desperately to make sense of the tragedy. And if you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, we'll read part of that letter. Beginning with verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction in roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. If you read or you listened carefully, you heard that the writer was a believer. He was a believer that made his trust in God known, made it known to others. And he had been ridiculed because of it. He's disillusioned with God. What happened to his hometown ultimately came by God's hand. And he knew that. Even though it was an enemy that did it, he knew that it was by God's hand ultimately that it was done. And that's not all. This man believes that God has it in for him, that God is against him, and that there appears to be no reason at all to have hope for the future. Have you ever felt that discouraged? A situation that looked like it could never get better. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I can relate to that. I've been depressed like that before. I know those feelings of emptiness and wondered why God seemed so angry with me. That writer was God's prophet, Jeremiah. And when it came to talking to and about God, Jeremiah never held anything back. But you know, through it all, he never lost sight of one important thing about God. One important thing about God that kept him going. One truth in the midst of all his despair and sadness. After expressing all of his anger, all of his sorrow, all of his shock, Jeremiah adds these words to his letter in verses 21 down to verse 23. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That one truth, great is your faithfulness, is what kept Jeremiah all the way through when he saw what had happened to his homeland, when he saw what happened to the people, when he saw what was happening to him personally. And it seemed like God had it in for him. It seemed like God was totally against him. He was able to look and hold on to the truth that God is faithful. No matter what's going on in your life, whether it's issues that are bringing on a whole lot of stress, whether it's health concerns, or financial worries, whether it's marriage problems, whether you've got children that are causing you some heartache, or you're dealing with the death of a loved one. Whatever circumstance is bringing you pain, God's love for you will never end. He has a new supply of mercy available for you every single day. He is faithful. And what does it mean to be faithful? Pastor Laszlo Tokas became too successful in the eyes of his Romanian government. He preached the gospel boldly and within 2 years saw his small church grow to 5,000 members. The authorities confiscated his ration book so he couldn't buy fuel or food. Then in December of 1989, they decided to exile him. And when the police arrived, they were stopped by an immovable crowd of people. Members of other churches and denominations stood shoulder to shoulder in protest. All day, the police tried to disperse the crowd, but they wouldn't budge. Just after midnight, a 19-year-old Baptist student named Daniel Garba pulled out a packet of candles. He lit one and passed it to his neighbor. One by one, the burning candles were passed through the crowd. The crowd stayed all through the night and the next. The police finally broke through and knocked in the church door. They bloodied Pastor Toka's face, then paraded both him and his wife through the crowd. An outcry from the people led them to the city square of Timișoara, where there began a full-scale demonstration against the communist government. Once again, Daniel Garba passed out his candles. Troops were brought in order to shoot the crowd. Hundreds were shot, and Daniel's leg was blown off. Their brave example inspired the entire population of Romania. And within days, the bloody dictator, Ceausescu, was dead. For the first time in half a century, Romania celebrated freedom. Faithfulness brings results, and results sometimes far beyond our greatest dreams. They were protecting a pastor in the church that day, and it turned into the freedom for a whole country. You've been adopted by a father who will never change his mind about you. He'll never write you off. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, his word says. If you're part of God's family by faith in Jesus Christ, then you have a friend, Scripture says, who sticks closer than a brother. In fact, you can't talk about God without coming to this truth. How great is God's faithfulness? Moses, when he needed assurance about the enormous assignment that had been given to him, he asked for God's credentials. He said he wanted to know God's name. And you remember how God responded. He responded by saying, I am who I am. Think about that for a moment. Just think about the meaning of that name for a moment. God took the present tense of the verb to be and he used it for his own name. That expresses his eternality, that he has always been, he always will be. It also announces that he always remains the same. God never changes. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is faithfulness so important? So many of the things that we hold as precious are built on the truth that God is faithful. Faithful to himself, faithful to his children, believers. Most important, faithful in his character and in his actions. First of all, God always has the last word. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the water, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. In other words, whatever God speaks happens. He says, when my word goes forth, it will accomplish exactly what I intended to accomplish. It will not come back unaccomplished. What God says, what he speaks, happens. What he says goes. One day, the very foundations of this world are going to perish. But his word lasts forever. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 says, You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. God's the one. He created it all. He spoke it into existence. They will perish. Everything that he made will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Jesus put it out there very straightforward. In Matthew 24:35, he said, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God has the final word. He had the first word, and He also has the final word. In every situation, every circumstance. That means God's word is His bond. Say a man's word is his bond. Well, God's word is his bond. A.W. Pink, theologian, pastor, he wrote these words. He said, speaking of God, He never forgets. He never fails. He never even falters. He never forfeits His word. To every declaration of promise or prophecy, the Lord has exactly adhered. What He says, He does. What He promises, He fulfills. Every encouragement, He will make good. For God is not a man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. We do it all the time, don't we? Given the circumstance, we can say, well, at the time, that's what I meant. But the circumstances have changed since then. God doesn't change. And He also expects His people to be those whose word is their bond. In one passage it says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend into His mountain? The one who swears to his own hurt. When you give your word, you follow through on it, even if it brings pain to you, because the circumstances changed, the situation changed. That's the kind of integrity that God wants. That's the kind of faithfulness that God demonstrates and that He calls His children to have. God's perfect. He never changes. What He says will be just as true a million years from now as it is today. God always has the last word. Something else is so important. God will keep us for eternal life. There's that passage over in Jude where it says that He can keep us from falling. He's the one that can present us faultless to the Lord. But He'll keep us for eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, referring to Jesus, it says that He will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me give you some insight into these words. Will confirm you to the end. Will confirm you to the end literally means that He will establish you and make certain about you. That's a guarantee that you'll be saved. He gave you eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we will make sure that you will be saved. You don't have to worry about that. He's the one that provided it, and He's going to make sure that it's going to happen. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You don't have to worry about falling from grace, because He's going to make sure. In fact, look at the word that's next after that phrase, blameless. Not only is He going to keep you saved to the end, but when you're presented before God, God's going to be able to look at you and you're going to be completely blameless before Him. It's not going to be that you get there and there's a whole lot of things that you can be accused of. No, He's going to keep you pure because of Jesus Christ and the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. The assurance of your salvation, it's not that God will save you even if you stop believing. That's not the assurance of your salvation. It's that God will personally see to it that you keep believing all the way to the end. There's the assurance of your salvation. And that's how it started in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So even the faith to believe in order to be saved was a gift of God. And He gave that gift so that you could believe to salvation, and He makes sure that you continue to have that faith. He will cause you to persevere. That's His promise. And what's the basis of that promise? God took the initiative in salvation. He's the one that did it. He called you, it says in that passage in 1 Corinthians, He called you into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not going to abandon what He started. He will take you across the finish line, even if He has to carry you, which is really what He's doing anyway, isn't He? So many believers have been taught that they've got to work at being saved. No, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and then He does all the work. You need to be obedient. That means you need to be faithful in doing what He wants you to do in order to serve Him, not in order to stay saved. But whether you have eternal life, that's His job. He gave it to you. He won't take it back. And He makes sure that you get all the way to the end. The sled dog movie, I don't know if it was Disney that did it, it was called The Iron Will. Jesus speaks to this in John chapter 6, verses 37 down to verse 39. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. Of all that He should give me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. So So everyone that has been given to Jesus by the Father, by faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus himself is going to make sure that each one presents it to the Father. And listen to Paul's confidence. The Apostle Paul's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." And listen to the song. "And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Because he's faithful, I can depend on him. I can count on him, and I can trust him to come through for me in every circumstance of life. I can trust him. I can depend on him. I can count on him. What is it that would keep you away from church? Rain on a Sunday morning? A little headache? Maybe some weather that's too hot or too cold? Our faithfulness to be active in worship each week should be encouraged by the determination of a 37-year-old bull rider named Johnny Chavez. When he arrived at the Houston Rodeo in February of 2000, he had two broken ankles. 4 months earlier, Chavez broke his right ankle in 6 places during a rodeo in Washington. Less than 3 months later, he cut off the cast so he could get back on the bull. That freedom to break his left ankle in 3 places while participating in the Fort Worth Rodeo. That cast lasted just a week. With 9 breaks between 2 ankles, Chavez took his place in the chutes at Houston. He told reporters that riding the bull was the easy part. It's getting off that's a killer. He says, "I almost want to land on my head so that my ankles wouldn't hurt so bad." Well, in 1996, he broke his neck and missed 6 months. He's not about to let a few broken ankles stop him now. "It's been tough," he said, "but I'm going to stick it out because despite everything, it's still been fun." May Chavez's tenacity inspire us to be more faithful as members of our church. Let me call you to a commitment of faithfulness. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. In fact, he's faithful right this moment because Scripture says that he is ever praying for us, ever interceding for us right now. He's there before the throne of God praying for us, interceding for every one of our needs, things that we can't even express, needs that we can't even articulate. We don't live in this world to do our own thing. Once we become Christians, we're here to do the Father's thing. Let me just call you to a commitment to be faithful. Be faithful in worship. Be faithful in Bible study. And be faithful in ministry service.